And so last week was all about being a disciple. We introduced the idea that we're going to be talking about make a disciple as well. And so last week it was all about the call to be a disciple. We saw that Jesus wants us to work for him, to be his apprentice, his follower, his disciple. We saw that to be a disciple is about growing our key relationships. Maybe I didn't quite say it like this, but there are three sort of dimensions in our relationship. I want to follow, which is this upward part. You know, I'm building my relationship upwards. Secondly, I want to relate, and the next two are probably in no particular order, but I want to relate to other believers. And so that's why this is important, that we get to know each other and we journey together. And I also want to relate to people who don't know the Lord. Okay, so there's the follow, there's the fellowship, and there's the fish. Not marshmallow fish, real fish. And so when I'm out about this week, and I meet up with a young guy who doesn't know the Lord, and I offer him, hey, Justin, you know, why don't you come and stay over, meet my family? He's already met Drew, and I think he met Debbie once, but hadn't met Ashley and Keegs, and he's a young guy studying at Rhodes. If I am seeking intentionally to be involved in his life so he can come to know Jesus, I need to do things like that. I need to invite him in. You know, come and be part of us. And tomorrow morning, I'll get up at 4:30, 5, and I'll drop you off in this botanical garden so that you can go birding. It's like, really? That is serving. That is making sure that we're in relationship with people who don't yet know Jesus. Everyone needs the chance at least to get to know Jesus. If I'm not changing my life, creating opportunities for that happen, then my relationship with God may be tight. My relationship with a few other Christians may be tight, but I'm missing out. It's like I'm a two-legged stool. You need at least three legs. I mean, you try to take away two of those legs in the chair you're sitting on and try and see how pretty you look. Sister, you're going down. You're going to fall and your behind is going to be owie. You have to have three legs. The three legs are relating to God, relating to other believers, relating to people who are lost, who don't yet know Jesus. And if I'm not building into each one of those three, I'm a two-legged chair waiting to collapse. If I leave God out the mix and I'm just relating to the lost and other believers, then I'm also not so great, am I? If I'm not hanging out with you guys and being encouraged, then I'm a two-legged chair. Get it? No, you have to say got it. Get it? Got it. What are the three legs? Follow, fellowship, and fish. Did you notice they're all F's? Oh, my gosh. The secret is look and listen. I've got a gift voucher. Under your seat, there's a gift voucher from Look and Listen for 30 of you. Only 30, if you can just reach under the seat if you got the gift voucher. Anyone got the gift voucher? No, it's not that Look and Listen. It'd be really nice if you had a look. But then you have to have a 300 rand to afford any books from there. But I am going to look at Jesus, and I'm going to listen to what he says. That's the secret. At the essence of being a disciple, if Jesus is saying, I want you to change where you are going and connect with someone, or I want you to put that aside so that you can focus on my Father, or I want you to go and hang out with other believers when you want to go get drunk and smashed at that party. You know, at least take a few other believers so that they can drive you home. Look at Jesus and listen to him. Basically, in the end, we said last week that I want to work for Daddy, I want to be the Savior's apprentice, and I want to be Jesus's apprentice. It's better than being a sorcerer's apprentice. I think this is going to get you further in life. Well, either one of those is an eternal journey, but this is the better eternal journey that I want, the apprentice of Jesus. So today I want to motivate you, if I can use that phrase, to consider not only being a disciple, but being a disciple maker. Someone who makes disciples, okay? So that's what today is all about. We're going to open our Bible, the visual Bible, and we're going to follow along with Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said,
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
He starts by talking about his authority. He says, "I have all authority in heaven and earth. There's no higher authority. Even kings, judges will bow down to me." And he ends that passage by saying, "If you do what I've called you to do, you will have my presence. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And in the middle is this challenge, this call, if you like, this commission. Our call is to make disciples. If I'm on my deathbed sharing my last wish, that's really important. Because I'm not just saying silly stuff. I'm not saying, "Hey, you need to have a lollipop." My deathbed, I'm gasping, I'm wheezing like a dying animal. I don't want to get the word lollipop out of my chest. I want to get something really, really significant. The last thing that is so important. So before he ascends to heaven, he says, one thing, make disciples. Go where they are, which means you can't just hang out in the church all the time. That's why you go to school. What an awesome opportunity you have to get out of bed tomorrow morning really early and go to school. What a privilege to be in a place where you can make disciples. I don't know about you, but that's going to make me jump out and just do my teeth so happily and not even brush my hair. Hey, no time to brush hair. I'm going to make disciples. What an awesome chance. And I can do this at Parktown Boys or Girls or Greenside or St. Mary's even. What an opportunity to make disciples, to teach them to obey everything that Jesus said. Wow, how many are signing up for? I'm keen to do that. And so no matter what job I have, whether I'm a student, whether I'm a youth pastor, even if I am a soccer player, professional soccer player, and I play on Saturday afternoon, that's just something I do. My actual calling is to be a disciple maker. Even if I'm the postman. I don't know if you see anything unusual about that dog. That dog is showing extreme restraint. I hope all dogs have that tied to their butt. Even if you're a postman, your actual calling is to be a disciple maker. Even if you are a wannabe rock star and you got a massive performance planned in your bedroom this evening for all your soft and cuddly toys, you're actually called to be a disciple maker. A disciple maker. Even if you're the sharpest businessman that's ever been around, business person, you are called to be a disciple maker. Called to make disciples. That's why I'm left on earth and not somehow taken away from this earth, put in some celestial mansion so that I can reach as many people as humanly possible. Now, if you look around this room, you will see a number of boards that maybe some of you have never seen. But to make a disciple is to encounter Jesus Christ. That's your responsibility. It's not IMTA's responsibility and Andrew's and CK and Cheryl and Tessa and Palila. It's not actually their responsibility. That responsibility was put on you by who? Pastor Roger. Pastor Jesus. You remember that dude? He said, "You need to help people encounter me as their Lord and Savior." And that's just the first step. You need to help people connect with other believers. And so when Justin has encountered Jesus, my young disciple that I hope to lead to Jesus, I need to help him connect with other believers. That's partly why I introduced him to the rest of my family. the responsibility is on me to help him grow in Jesus to maturity. God's going to help me with that. The other people that I connect him to are going to help with that. That is a responsibility of a disciple maker. I don't just give someone an address to a local church somewhere and say, bye. That would be like a mom having a baby and pushing it out of the delivery room and say, call me when you're 18. You know, I'll be there. That's not a great mom. What kind of mom is that? Our responsibility when we've started this process with people is to help them reach other people. And that completes this process. So it's ongoing. I need to help Justin reach his friends for Jesus. Probably starting with his girlfriend, with his family members, with the people that he's studying with at Rhodes University. So that he, in turn, can lead others to Christ. Because we are disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And ultimately, we want this young disciple to influence their world for Jesus Christ. And so I'm on this journey personally as a disciple. So if you think of last week, I am encountering, I'm connecting, I'm growing, I'm reaching. But then when I'm completing this process, as I start to reach out to people, I'm helping someone encounter Jesus. I'm helping them connect together with other people. I'm helping them to grow spiritually. Do you get it? It's not rocket science, but it's the missing ingredients. So many of us have given our lives to Jesus, and we feel that, well, now I'm just waiting for a ticket to glory, waiting for that slow train coming that's going to take me home to get my harp in the sky, and I'm going to play on a cloud. I don't know how you can sit on a cloud and play a harp, because surely the harp's too heavy and it's going to fall right through. I think God has intended so much more for us than some future like that, but to roll up our sleeves and to make disciples. You get the chance to be that old-timer, you know, teaching someone and standing back with pure joy when that someone that you've taught ends up teaching someone else and they go on to teach someone else and so on and so forth, so that I'm pouring my life into someone who ultimately pours their life into someone else. So am I actually helping someone else on the journey, on this journey? That's a real in-my-face question. Because it's easy to get sidetracked with other stuff, isn't it? It's easy just to be living my life and making it from day to day, and I end up not making disciples. If I'm not changing my life to orientate around someone who doesn't know Jesus, then I'm sidetracked, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. But I have to find someone that I can pour my life into so that they can come to know Jesus and begin this faith journey. And so that's the question for you today. Who are you helping on their faith journey? And if there's no one, the ground's not going to open up and swallow you. All you need to do is look out for that opportunity. Who in your school class? And how are we going to do this? How are we going to make disciples of all nations? Well, we can add people into the kingdom. And a couple years ago, I showed you this, but for some of you who are new, I want you to step back. One, two, one. See how hard it is to get someone to stand. It's not easy. And you've just, you know, met Jesus, and you're all excited, and like, wave your hands. Cool enough. Don't be too like crazy, you know? And another brother here is going to like stand up, and he's also become a follower of Jesus, and he's in the kingdom. He does a little handshake and stuff, and no, he's tough. I'm done. Yeah, he looks open and ready and ripe, and oh, maybe I will try, and would you stand? And can you see how amazing it is? I've led four people to Jesus, and oh, even my daughter, I think I'm going to lead her to Jesus, and she's come to know Jesus. I'm doing quite well, don't you think? Well, there's a fifth person, and there's a sixth person, and I wonder how long it's going to take me to reach everyone in this room. It's because I'm limited, you know. I can't even go too far with this microphone cable. It's going to take me a long time, and we've only got until 10 o'clock, and he's already starting to feel like he's tired, and he's like sitting down. He's like not really wanting to be one of those followers, and Zach's got those original doubts that he had, and he's sitting down like, oh, no, man, where were those like seven, and now we're down to five, and this is like so sad. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get to you at the back there, sir. I think if you have an accident this week, Lord forbid you ever have an accident. Oh, he did last week. But imagine if in that it's like fatal and I haven't got to him. And I'd be a little bit disappointed, don't you think? Thanks, you guys can sit. That's addition. Do you think I'm going to take a while to make disciples of all nations? Or I could lead my young friend to Jesus as you stand, and I could just spend 15 seconds with him to say, I want you to go out and find someone else in this room, especially that guy at the back who's maybe going to have an accident. I want you to touch him and let him stand, right? But you're not done until he's bringing someone else. Teach him to, touch someone else, and you keep working. Like, don't give up, dude. You know what I mean? I'll send you airtime so that you can phone more friends. Okay, so you go touch some people and anyone, just as you go and do that. And you too, bro, you've come to know Jesus and I'm sending you out to go and make disciples right at the back. Because that girl there at the back, there, she don't know Jesus, nothing. This young man, yeah, come to know Jesus, man. Bro, it's awesome. Welcome to the kingdom. I don't just want you to be a disciple. I want you to make disciples. So you go out and make disciples, okay? Let's try this young girl down here. And I think she can. You've come to know Jesus. Go make disciples of like all nations. And I've touched 3 people so far, and you too, Loli, you need to like go make disciples of all nations. And what about you, man? You can go. Hey, everyone's saved. Everyone's making disciples. Okay, take a seat for a moment. If I use my first effort, okay, the addition one, if I preach to 1,000 people every day, would you agree that's a lot of people? It's probably just one taxi with 1,000 people in it, but it would take me 16,435 years to reach the world. I don't know about you, but my time's running out very quickly, okay? If, on the other hand, I reach just two people in 1 year and send them out to reach and grow just 2 other disciples each, we'll reach the world in 33 years. Did you see how quick it spread throughout here? Now, I'm not suggesting it takes 30 seconds to reach someone. Someone who's been living for 21 years away from the Lord is not going to come to know the Lord and grow to maturity in 5 minutes. It's going to take 17 minutes, maybe. It's going to maybe take 17 months. But as I invest my life in someone and send them out to make disciples, it can really get a move on. You see, one of the issues is whether we should be telling people about Jesus. Because everyone's got their own ideas. Everyone's got their own worldview. And I don't want to violate someone's worldview. I wonder what a real hardcore atheist thinks about people who come and tell him about Jesus or seek to proselytize him, which is a word that means I want to bring you onto my side. I know you're in that class, but I want to bring you into my class. I want to bring you into my way of thinking. This is a real hardcore atheist, and I want you to listen to what he has to say.
And at the end of the show, and there was one guy waiting over to the side, and he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. It was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that. I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on. And then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch.
How much do you have to hate someone to not tell them something that's going to change their lives for the good? And that's from someone who doesn't believe Jesus, saying, a truck is bearing down on your mate. You look away. You don't knock them out of the way. You don't do something about it. If we really care about people and we feel that we have the greatest secret about our existence, about why we're on earth, about the very thing that science can't tell us. Science can try and tell us how we came to be on earth, you know, through natural evolution, that we evolved from some goo. But it can't tell us why we're here and where we're going, what our future is. Only the knowledge of a personal creator God can give that to me, to give me sense and meaning and purpose, to know that I was created to be in a relationship with God and created to bring others into that relationship. And if I know this and keep it to myself, I think I'm a little bit like this young girl who's not doing what she should do. I've read this before here, but a while ago, and it goes like this. I stay near the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which people walk when they find God. There's no use my going way inside and staying there where so many are still outside and they crave to know where the door is. And so I stay near the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for people to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing anyone can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and to put it on the latch. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find God. And so I stay near the door. Oh, go in, great saints. Go all the way down. Go way down into the cellars and way up into the attics. It is a vast, roomy house, this house where God is. And go into the deepest hidden places of withdrawal and silence. But realize that the people too far in do not see that they are preoccupied with the wonder of it all. And so I stay near the door. Oh, I admire the people who go way in, but wish they would not forget about how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door. You can go in too deeply and stay in too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I take my old accustomed place near enough to God to hear him and know him. He is there, but not so far from people as to not hear them. And remember, they are there too. Where? Outside the door, thousands of them, millions of them. But more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands I am intended to put on the latch. And so I stay by the door and wait for those who seek it. I would rather be a doorkeeper. And so I stay near the door. Stay near the door. So Jesus has called me to be a disciple that we saw last week, but he's also called me to be a disciple who makes disciples, who make disciples, who makes disciples. And I short-circuit the system when I just get to the grow phase and stay at the grow phase, and I don't start to reach others. This is the year for me to make a disciple, to intentionally make disciples who will make disciples. And you and I have all the tools that we need for this. You don't need to go to Bible school for this. You don't need to do anything except taking the tools of things like prayer. It's not hard to begin praying for someone each day that God would lead them into a relationship with himself. That's the starting point. And weird things happen when you start to pray for someone. Coincidences happen. Suddenly you're praying for someone and they ask you a question, which just shows that they're open for discussion. There's the tool of friendship. I can introduce them to other people that I know, who know and love Jesus, and they can speak into their lives. I can just build a friendship with someone. We're not talking about missionary dating here. I'm not suggesting you all run out and date everyone at school who's on the in the dark side. But you can form good, healthy relationships with people who don't know Jesus. You can use technology, just an SMS or a mixed message can go so far to letting people know that you're thinking about them and that you're sending something of ready significance their way. You can show a little kindness. Even Shrek needed to show that to Donkey in his swamp. And if you just do that, if you just maybe make waffles for someone, and show them that they're important, that you've done something, that you go out of your way for them, that will communicate so loud and strong. And you have a testimony. God has done stuff in your life. You can just talk about that. You don't have to rehearse it. There was a time in my life when I didn't know the Lord. And then I met him. And then he did this and this and this for me. And my life, you know what? It's manageable now. Testimonies are really powerful. You can use some of the tools that we've got at Ignite Youth. You can use the Encounter booklet. And some of you last week made a decision to go deeper in your relationship. I'm going to meet Imta afterwards, and he wants to give you one of these. And they're only 700 Rand. Hope you brought your money. Oh, no, they're free, I think. Am I right? And you can begin walking through this journey with someone that's going to help you do it. You find someone who's a young believer. You can start walking through the Grow book with them. Someone who's ready to become a disciple maker, you could start walking them through the Reach booklet. It's not the book that's going to impact their lives. It's your relationship with them, and you're walking with them through the scriptures that are behind these. And you can bring them into events, a Friday night event where they can hear the gospel, Sunday morning where they can learn how to walk and grow. You see, becoming a disciple maker is simply accepting the call. Find someone. Start to disciple them, use the tools. Does it sound simple? It is. It's not complex, not rocket science. It's all about pick and pay. Look under your chair, there's a voucher for pick and pay. Maybe I forgot to put them out this morning. All you need to do is pick someone. Pick someone in your circle, in your sphere of influence, and say, Lord, I am going to intentionally disciple them into a relationship with you. And then pay. Pay the price. It might mean you have to go out of your way. You might need to buy them a lunch. You might need to buy them a Bible. You might need to come and speak to Imta if you need money. He'll give it to you. Pick someone. Pay the price it takes. How will you answer the call? Will you be a disciple maker? Let's pray together. Lord, it's a sober morning, this, of realizing that your intention is not just to save us, but you've saved us so that we can be involved in saving others. And Lord, you're going to work through us in this year to bring others into your kingdom. And we want to commit this morning, Lord, to being disciple makers, people who will make disciples. And I want to give you a chance this morning that if you have got to that point where you are a disciple of Jesus, and this morning there's something burning in your heart saying, yes, I should be a disciple maker, or I want to be better at that, I want to do more of that, then I want to challenge you, while all our eyes are shut, to stand before the Lord, and I want to pray that God will help you to be an even better disciple maker this year as we help you do that. This is between you and the Lord as you say, Lord, I've heard a call today, and I'm not quite sure what this is going to entail, but I want to be a disciple maker, and I want you to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to pray right now. Father, we've heard a call this morning. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them. Lord, I pray that you would so be with us, Lord, that this task would become natural to us. It would be as natural as spreading influenza, coughing on someone and them getting the flu, but that we would engage in people's lives. And for everyone who's responded, Lord, and for everyone who's still considering their journey, where they are on this journey, I pray that you would come and that you would walk with us, and that, Lord, you would show us how to be disciple makers. You've seen this next step that we've taken this morning, and I pray that you would come and that you would work with that. Won't you be seated as we carry on praying? And Lord, it's an honor to work for you, to be your apprentice. come and show us all that it takes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a true disciple who makes disciples, who will in turn make disciples. Forgive us for not caring when our friends are drowning. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking that the atheist doesn't want to know about you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning through an atheist who says that we need to care and tell others about Jesus. So we honor you, we bless you in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. Before you go, if you responded last week in the first or second service, if you can just see MT, he wants to give you one of these. You may wonder this week and next week where Patrick is, who's been with us on the keyboard and has touched so many of our lives. He's investing in a lifelong discipleship relationship with a member of the opposite sex down in Cape Town, and we wish him well as he continues that journey, and we hope to see them sometime soon. It's been an awesome Sunday morning. If you haven't said some really positive, encouraging words to Andrew for his whole journey, I hope you didn't miss the cake and the honoring that happened Friday night. That was tear-inducing, I would say, as Andrew was honored in the midst. So you need to say something personally to him. It's one thing to say it in a card or to do something else like that, but get alongside him before he leaves. And I know that he's not going to be far away, so I doubt. Watch this space for a guest speaker on Sunday morning really soon. So go well. Have an awesome week. Think about that decision to make disciples as we carry on. Next Sunday, some of you, I pray, are going to be speaking a bit about how you are a disciple and how you make disciples. I want to create a bit of space for either of these. This is some of the stuff I do to be a better disciple. This is some of what I'm doing this year to make disciples. So think about that. We'll ask some of you, but anyone will have a chance to share what that looks like in their lives next Sunday morning. Be blessed. Have an awesome week.